Do you want to hear tales worthy of the Fire Nation princess herself? Then tune in to Scald's Hall on CITR 101.9 FM and listen to the very best established and upcoming storytellers in the land. Do it, peasant, for your princess commands you.
Join us Fridays at 1 p.m. for the best in spoken word entertainment.
Ty Lee, you're not thinking of changing the dial, are you? That's better.
And welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM, and it is a beautiful, rainy Friday afternoon here in Vancouver, and we are here for Scald's Hall, and welcome everybody, and it is a lovely first week of exams done and over if you are a student here. Keep it up, there are two more weeks to go, and if you need a break, we've got some wonderful, wonderful stuff coming up that you can use to take a break. The Vagabond Players production of For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again by Michelle Tremblay is playing now. You can give them a call and reserve tickets. You can go and see the play, of course. And coming up in just a moment, you can sit back, relax, and take a listen to an interview we did with the cast and crew of For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again. So stay tuned. That's coming up in just a moment. You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Scald's Hall, and we are here with the cast and crew of the upcoming production of For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again. So, why don't we get to know each other?
Hi, I'm Corina Axon. I'm the director of this lovely piece.
I'm Nancy Ebert. I play Nana.
I'm Jason Harder. I play the narrator.
How did you all get involved in theater?
I think I first became inspired because I started teaching in Prince Rupert, having lived in New Westminster all my life, and I felt like I needed something to get me out of my little apartment and a way to meet people, and I discovered theater and loved it and have been doing it ever since.
For me, it started as far back as high school. Any creative writing assignment that I was given, I'd be writing a show of some kind. It's just always stuck with me. I can't seem to get rid of it. It's just this innate part of me that I need to express.
I was always one of those kids that took over the living room to make personal shows, but I didn't really fall into it probably till late elementary school, and then followed it right through high school as a performer, and then took a little break and eventually went into professional theater training after high school, and now I'm interested in directing.
So you guys are going to be doing the production of For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again. How did that come about specifically?
This was a piece that Alice Woodbury on the play reading committee for Vagabonds had brought to the club, and they put it into their season. And somewhere along the way, they lost their director, and I've known Alice for years and years and years. She brought it to my attention that they were looking for a director, and I thought about somebody else. I was actually thinking about my uncle, who has a particular relationship with this show, having done it with Nicola Cavendish in the past. He wasn't available, and then I read it and was really touched by it and thought, you know what, I've always wanted to direct, and this is a piece that I really connect to. I think this is a good place to sort of start and cut my teeth and learn what this process is all about.
So is this your first time directing?
It is.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
I first came in contact with this play years ago. A friend asked me to do a play reading with him and another friend, and I just fell in love with it. It's such a beautiful play. And then I went to see the production with Nicola Cavendish that Corina was referring to, with my mother, because it is a play about a mother and son, but this is a mother-daughter situation. I wept buckets and was swept away by it. And so when I realized that this was part of the season, I felt like I had to do everything I possibly could to try and play this role.
For me, I've known Corina for a while. It's funny, we've never, being both performers, we've never actually worked together. When this came up, initially I thought, what a great opportunity for us to work together. And then when I actually read the play, it was like, okay, yes, I definitely have to do this. Even just reading it, I was incredibly moved by it. I just needed to be a part of it.
What has the preparation process for this play been like so far?
It's been long. We started rehearsing. When did we start rehearsing?
Beginning of February?
Yeah.
March, second week maybe of February?
Yeah, so we've given ourselves a good 2 months, 2.5 months, I guess, by the time we'll open to sort of get it up on its feet. I tend to work physically as a performer. A lot of our early, I guess the first 2 weeks really, were spent doing physical exploration and some table work and just sort of real physical character exploration before we really started to take it up on its feet. Now we're up in our feet with it and it's all blocked out, and I think we're in a really good place. We still have almost 3 weeks left to go. Yeah, it's just every day it's rich, rich, rich. New discoveries.
Lots and lots of research. And lots of, as Karina said, physical work and kind of exploring before we even worked particularly with text. And I think that one of the reasons we're in such a good place now is because we did all that background. And so we've got a really clear idea and knowledge of our characters almost as a part of our operation and our bodies and everything.
Yeah, it's a real treat to be working on a play that's contemporary. And it's based on Tremblay's relationship with his mother, so that it was great to have the opportunity to research his background. Not that I'm playing Michel Tremblay or anything, but to have that as sort of a template that we can use as a foundation and then just springboard off of.
Having said that, my character has more lines than I have ever encountered in my life. The play is really Michel Tremblay's homage to his mother as being the great inspiration for his writings and his creativity and his imagination. It's just lovely in that respect. And he talks about his mother as talking a blue streak, and she does. Mm. And so I play the mother, so I talk a blue streak, and I have a couple of monologues. I have two in particular that are pages long. And that was quite challenging.
And how did you overcome that challenge?
You know, just the grind, just the memorization, like we used to do with the times tables when we were little. You know, you say it over and over, and you go back, and you say it over and over, and somehow it gets stuck in there.
Can you tell our audience who might not be familiar with the play a little bit about what they will see or what they will experience when they go to see it?
Well, we don't want to give too much away, but I can tell you about the basic premise of the piece. It really is a beautiful story that is, I think, really universal to everyone, a beautiful story about a mother and son in this case, but really it is a story about, I think, a universal need that we all have to honor and give life to the memory of the people in our lives, the ordinary people in our lives that have made a significant impact on who we are as people. So any caregiver, it doesn't have to be a mother and son, it's any caregiver in our lives that has shaped us. And to us, they are extraordinary, but really they're just ordinary people. And that's what the essence of this story is one man's need to honor the memory of this woman in this case by sharing her and in a way immortalizing her and making her extraordinary to everybody else.
Can you tell us where and when it's going to happen?
This show will preview on April the 11th at the Burney Lake Theatre in Queen's Park in New Westminster. We run through to April 20th. That's a Thursday through Sunday with a Sunday matinee. We preview on April 11th. We officially open on the 13th, and we will run Thursday through Saturday with the first Sunday 2 p.m. matinee right through the 20th of April. All the other shows are at 8 o'clock.
Are any of you involved in any other projects you might like to plug while you're here on Skull Tall?
Well, Jason.
Yes.
Jason.
I'm in a band called the Legion of Flying Monkeys Horn Orchestra, and it's a local band. And the concept started with a friend of mine who's a brilliant painter, artist, illustrator. And about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, he started building natural horns. And that means they are horns that make musical sounds that are made from tree branches. Or the horn that I play is made from a plant called hogweed or giant cow parsnip, which is an evil, invasive species to this ecosystem, which needs to be used for different purposes than taking over our indigenous ecosystem. We don't have any gigs at the moment, but you can Google us. We're out there. Love to see a big crowd. Marginally kid-friendly as well. We're working on that.
And Nancy actually just did just close down another project. She was just involved in Agnes of God out at White Rock, a lovely production out there. So she's, I think, in between the next gig, as am I.
Do any of you have any advice for any actors or directors that are just starting out?
Make sure you really love doing this.
And you have to give it your whole heart. You have to really commit.
Yeah.
And I would say the sky's the limit. If it's something you want to do, you just have to do it. Yes, you have to know that it's what you really want to do. There are a lot of financial sacrifices, especially if one is trying to do this as their primary source of income, which it's very difficult to make that happen. It's not impossible. It is a lot of hard work. It is a small business. It is your own business. You are your business. But yes, throw yourself in. Jump in.
Mm-hmm. And I think just throw out that whole gene that controls embarrassment, because you're going to do a lot of things that people find embarrassing, but you have to do them.
Yeah, if you're going to get wet, you might as well jump right in.
That's
exactly
right.
And coming up in just a moment, we're going to get a sneak peek of For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again. So stay tuned to us here at Scald's Hole on CITR 101.9 FM.
Sea salt, malt vinegar, newspaper wrapping, red sauce, tartar sauce, brown sauce.
Cool Britannia, Britannia, you are cool. Take a trip, Britons ever, ever, ever shall be hip, 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 hip.
Chips with everything. CITR 101.9 FM's Great British Music Show. It's hot, hot, hot.
You didn't say when it was, man.
Oh, yeah, right. alternating Sundays, 5 to 6 p.m. The very best of the very, very Britishest.
Oh, dear.
So, welcome back here on CITR 101.9 FM in Scald's Hall with the cast and director of For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again. And we are about to hear several teaser scenes from that particular play. So what are we going to hear first?
This is one of the scenes where our narrator is 13 years old. They're discussing the validity of books. Nana is a voracious reader, and she has given some books to her son to read, and this is part of a discussion that comes out about some of these books.
Listen, there are stories where mothers abandon their kids on the church steps. Nobody can catch them that way for sure. You can't ask a newborn baby to remember its mother or its father, especially if the mother is an unmarried mother who's just dumped him there the day after he was born.
I can't see how you can defend them.
I'm not defending them. I find it as awful as you do, but what can I say? I'm trying to find an explanation. You ask me a question, I'm trying to find an answer. Maybe there are a lot of abandoned children in novels because it's an interesting way to start a story. You want to know where they came from, why their parents don't want them. Take little Patira. When he's abandoned by those jugglers who've raised him without knowing where he came from, well, you want to know where he comes from right away, so you keep reading the book. And oh, how do I know? What kind of question is that, anyway?
If you'd been poor, you'd never would have abandoned me on the church steps.
I was poor, believe me.
So, you see?
Maybe I just didn't have the guts.
Ma.
Oh, come on. I would never have abandoned you. I wanted you too badly. But had I known...
Very funny.
Anyway, things are different in France.
That's what I wanted to know.
Now, don't you go making me say things I don't mean.
You just admitted things are different in France.
I don't mean that the French go around abandoning their kids, so don't you dare repeat that. I know you yakety-yacking everywhere, and I'll look like a real shrew. Maybe the French only do that in their books.
Aren't books supposed to be able, like real life?
Now you're testing my patience.
And we're going to hear another scene from the same play. So what are we going to hear now?
Well, this is a scene a little bit later. Our narrator is now 18 years old, and this is a conversation that happens around a particular aunt coming to visit and the feelings that are felt about that particular aunt always coming to dinner.
You always make roast beef when they come.
People say my roast beef is the best roast beef this side of the Rockies.
I know, but you always make it... rare. Maybe she likes it well done. I don't know.
What's that supposed to mean? Did she ever say anything?
Well, no.
Tell me the truth. Did your Aunt Gertrude ever complain about my roast beef?
I told you no, but some people just prefer their beef more well done, that's all.
Listen to that. Would that be yourself you're talking about?
Well,
you've hated my roast beef for 18 years and you never even said anything?
I never said I hated your roast beef,
you've
Mom.
You've been eating roast beef that makes you sick for 18 years and you never had the courage to tell me?
You've been boasting about your roast beef for so long, it's pretty hard to contradict you, Ma.
Listen to that. He doesn't like my cooking. He's going to kill me. What about my potatoes? Are they cooked enough for you? Are my peas hot enough? Are my carrots chopped too big? Is my gravy too thick? Maybe it's got too much tea in it. Is there anything that I cook that you like, or is it all like my roast beef? Awful!
I never said I didn't like your cooking. Gosh, it's hard to talk to you.
Oh, thank you very much. That was awesome. And if you want to hear the rest of the play, you can get tickets from the Vagabond Players website, or you can call them. And what is that phone number?
604-521-0412.
Yes, and I advise everyone out there to try to get their tickets as early in advance as you possibly can, because our last show did sell out fairly quickly, and this one looks like it's going to be at least as good, if not better. So thank you very much, everyone, for coming on our show today. It was really great to have you all.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
All right, and you were listening to the cast and crew of the Vagabond Players production of For the Pleasure of Seeing Her, again here at Skulls Hall on CITR 101.9 FM.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, The Kiss Store, Heart and Soul Clothing, Inc., Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
And you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Skulls Hall, and you just heard a brief interview with the cast and crew of For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again by Michel Tremblay. Now, what do you do? How do you get tickets? Information for you. Adults are $15. Tickets for adults, $15. Tickets for seniors and students, $13. And they do say 18 and under for students, so I'm not sure if being a UBC student will be enough to get that. But it's still only $15 for a ticket. And if you want to make a reservation, you can call them at 604-521-0412. Once again, that is 604-521-0412. Or you can email them at reservations@vagabondplayers.ca. That's all lowercase, no spaces or anything. reservations@vagabondplayers.ca. And if you want to find all this information and more about the show, you can at the Vagabond Players website. It is simply vagabondplayers.ca. You can go there. They have the ticket information. They have information about the show, and they have information about upcoming shows as well. And now we are going to be moving on. And we are going to be hearing the final conclusionary part to Adam Frank's radio drama, Some Mad Scientists. And since we've built up to this for a whole month, why don't we just get started? So here's Adam Frank's finale to Some Mad Scientists.
Hippocrates, fill his cup and keep it filled. Good. Now stay. If his cup empties, it's the whip for you.
Counselor, please.
I've drunk enough these last three nights to make my days a blur. Philip Poyman, does the city celebrate this way each year?
You have given us relief, Hippocrates. Democritus is cured!
He was never ill!
It's you we honor. You we owe. Festivities are due to you!
You'll drink your weight in wine. That's Abdura's treatment for you, Doctor. Along with these fine dancers.
I should be thanking you, great citizens, for sending me this mission. Democritus is truly the wisest of men. Is he joining us tonight?
Unlikely. He stays amongst his own.
Who are his own, Philip Oyman? His household was so curious.
A mix and mess. Some were slaves he bought and freed. These work his land in thanks. Others for his instruction. Some come from distant lands whence Democritus traveled in his youth. Still others are foundlings his sisters raise. Anyone requesting shelter may be given it. Apt thinkers become his students.
Ah, a busy life. How does he have time?
Hippocrates, see the way we dine at festival. Clear a space. Lay the cushions down.
What do they carry?
Two tables decked with delicious dishes.
The tables are most beautiful slaves. Eat, Hippocrates. Eat from their naked thighs, breasts, and buttocks. Feast your eyes and belly on these delights.
Democritus! Democritus!
Out of my way, old man.
Watch your tongue.
Watch yours, slave, or I'll remove it.
I am a citizen, sir.
Oh, my apologies. Here, take this skin of wine, sir.
Oh, where has she gone, my sweet, mad apprentice? Who would have thought I would find love again? Only to lose it. 3 days since I saw you last. Democritus!
Who calls me?
Who's that?
I am Democritus. What do you wish from me, my friend?
My apologies, great philosopher. It is not you I seek.
And yet you call my name. How shall I understand this?
I seek a woman who goes by your name, or one like it.
An unusual woman. Why does she take my name?
I do not know. She seems to know your teachings.
Democritus! Come! You fall behind while we hunt for wine.
I have many students who come and go, as I do. But she is important to you, I see that. If you find her, tend to her. Goodbye!
Wait! Here, take this wine.
Thank you, citizen! Thank you!
Oh, miserable. Old age is being totally crippled. It has everything and lacks everything. Democritus, where have you gone?
Grim and dangerous place, this Abdera. Ignorant fools live here. Democritus is not wrong. Time to return to Kos, though it's not much better there.
By convention sweet and by convention bitter. By convention hot. By convention cold, by convention color, but in reality atoms in a void.
Who speaks?
Oh,
I came to Athens and no one knew me.
I am Dinocrates.
Excuse me, I did not see you in the dark. You have been enjoying the festivities.
Ugh, only by avoiding them.
Why?
Well, wine makes some men cheerful, others melancholy, and still others lose control. They are all to be avoided.
You will avoid me, then, while I drink to your health.
No. Give it here. That is good wine.
You have no place to sleep?
I do. I did. But I like to sleep here these last few nights during the festival. The port is empty. I watch the anchored ships and dream of leaving.
Where would you go?
Anywhere. It is time to leave Abdera.
Spoken truly. We leave for Kos after sunrise.
You and your master?
Yes. You know him?
Everyone knows Hippocrates of Kos. Only some know that the slave who accompanies him is also a great physician. Tell me, are you satisfied being a slave? I did not like it either. Now I am free. He who kills those which do or attempt to do wrong is free of punishment. And doing this contributes more to well-being than not.
You killed your master?
A year ago. He brought me to Abdera. Brought me everywhere he went. I hated him and killed him. No one knew him here, or me. I ran away and found refuge with a kind woman and her brother. Much has changed since then.
You are free.
Well, recently I thought to learn a trade, but philosophy has ruined me for that kind of work. What have you lost?
Time. Much time, it seems. Look, there is our ship to Kos. And this trunk, half filled with Hippocrates' clothes, would hold you in comfort. If you wish to leave Abdera, I offer you a way. The ship's captain comes at sunrise to load the ship. If you get in the trunk, I will watch it put safely on board. What say you?
You would do this? Why?
I admire a brave soul and want courage myself.
So you think I will give you courage?
I will do what I can to assist you when we arrive in Kos. The sun is rising. What say you? Will you leave Abdera?
Yes.
See? There's room.
Before you close me in, my new friend, what is your name?
I am Malamut. And yours?
I was Dinocrates. Before that, I was called Artemis by my master.
Shall I call
no.
you?
No. My parents named me Layla.
Layla, I am alone. You may come out. I bring you bread and figs.
Mm.
Remain quiet when Hippocrates returns to the cabin. He comes at night only to sleep. He spends his days on deck.
How long will we be at sea?
A week, I wager. The sun has just now set on our first day.
I do not like it. It makes me think of the ship that first brought me to Greece.
I understand.
Like-mindedness makes friendship. You are my friend.
Yes. It is because you have given me resolve. I go to request my freedom from Hippocrates.
Will he grant it to you?
I have repeated the argument to myself many times. It is reasonable.
Does any law compel Hippocrates to free you?
None, but he is a thoughtful man. A kind man. A kind who understands reason.
But reason may not persuade. What will you do if he refuses?
I have strong arguments. He will listen. Of this I am certain. I go to make my request now.
Think, Malamut. It is the work of intelligence to guard against future wrongdoing, but of insensitivity not to retaliate once it is done.
I have thought for too long. I must act before my resolve vanishes.
Good luck, my friend.
Thank you. Ah, Malamet, come join me. The sea clears cobwebs from my mind.
You enjoyed the visits with Democritus, Master.
Never have I learned so much so quickly.
And the festivities?
Invigorating nights. Abderanos Festival. Where were you last night?
Preparing for our voyage. I find I have been full of thoughts since listening to Democritus.
There is so much to learn. Abdera is rightly proud of its great sage. Such skilled and rapid thought. He took from me, in 3 short days, everything I have to teach. I renew my vow and shall herald his philosophy in Kos.
You know, Master, there is a joke about Abdera. They say that in the city we just left, each citizen has a herald who goes before him. And so there are more heralds than citizens there. Your vow makes you a proper Abderite after all.
Their reputation may be undeserved, or so I think. What think you?
I think I will try no more jokes. I wonder, Hippocrates, if I might discuss with you a matter of some importance.
The sea is calm, the moon is bright, the time is fine for serious discussion. What is it, Malamet?
I have been considering this these last few days and nights.
What is the matter? I am impatient to hear.
You remember, Hippocrates, when you first took me in? Captured during the wars in the East, my parents killed. I had no one in my life, nowhere to go. Though I was only a slave, you became my lover and my teacher.
You were like a gazelle.
I was grateful to live in your household. You asked me to assist you in your practice and began to instruct me. First, in the arts of extracting medicine from herbs, then in the arts of diagnosis, and finally, in those of treatment.
You could have been no better nurse or helper.
And now, would you say that I have become adept at all the arts of medicine?
I would. I said it once and will again. There is little more for me to teach you. You might have stayed at Kos to care for my patients, but of course, a slave cannot be granted such authority.
I have finished my training, then? Were I not a slave, could I begin my own practice?
No doubt, for some time now. But these are pointless imaginings.
Democritus instructed that we pay attention to the sudden way change falls on all things. I have become aware that things have changed with me, Hippocrates. I chafe as your slave and your assistant. I want to become a physician, and so I am asking for my freedom.
Democritus spoke also of false pride and arrogance. Consider your place.
Arrogance has nothing to do with what leads me to this request, but rather careful consideration. You have taught me, Hippocrates, that we can always make improvements to our art. What I have to learn, you can no longer teach me. Democritus took a few days, and I many more years, but the result is the same. We have both taken from you as much as we can. For this, I am most grateful. Now I must find ways to improve my art.
Your art? You overestimate the change, Malamet. Besides, I still have need of your assistance. You are my slave and indispensable. How is it that you're suddenly unhappy? And how have I not known? Tell me, what can I do to improve your life with me?
Free me, Hippocrates. That is all I ask, all you can do.
Not possible.
Why not?
My medical practice would fail without you.
You would find another to teach. Indeed, others could use your instruction. I suspect that I am not as necessary to your practice as you say.
My household would no longer run efficiently. The countless things you care for give me needed time. You know how much I value this. Malamet, do you not feel my gratitude each time you make new bandages or prepare my clothes for bed?
I do, Hippocrates. It was once enough to know your gratitude and your dependence, and to know them as my own. My importance to your household gave me joy. No more. This knowledge grates on me now. I long for my freedom. The time presses upon me. It has entered my bones.
But you are necessary to me, Malamet. We are necessary to each other.
Once, it is true, but Eros left us some years ago.
that God no longer holds us in his embrace.
Oh.
I speak the truth, and I ask you to acknowledge it. I want my freedom. I also understand no law of cost requires you to grant it, but a master may free his slave before he dies. Would you? I know I leap over the bounds of decorum. I know I should wait quietly until you see and feel what has become so clear to me. But I have become impatient, Master. I cannot wait. I must press you, come what may.
I will think about your request, Malamet. I must consider...
I worry that what I say will not persuade you.
It is surprising. Some time, that is all
time! Time disappears, Hippocrates! I no longer have enough. Remember Democritus' teaching about mutability and change? Consider what would happen if you kept me as a slave. Things may continue as before, but slowly my frustration and unhappiness, now that they have come into my awareness, would make themselves known to us both. I would wish to please you less, become inattentive, mixing medicines or setting wounds. Your practice then would suffer. Patients venting their complaints in the agora, casting shame upon a glittering reputation. If you still refused my freedom, then my gratitude would fade completely or change to envy. I would poison your children's minds against you and fan the flame of your wife's passion. First your practice, then your household, finally your very life would be at risk. You would sleep with one eye open. So you see, it would be vain to keep me in your bosom when I no longer want to live there. Heed Democritus' wisdom, Master. Acknowledge what has changed and free me.
Enough! I have heard you. Give me time to think. You will have my decision by sunrise.
I wish you well in your deliberations.
Leave me now! Go!
It is done.
What did he say?
He wants time to consider.
And will he accept?
I do not know. I may have pressed him unduly. I was impatient. Why did I not hesitate? He is reasonable. He must see the necessity of this.
For who?
I persuaded him by reason and by threat. I was mistaken. I should have waited. Oh, it is the end.
Be calm. It is no longer in your hands.
I am done. He will punish me, or worse.
Malamet, you must prepare yourself. It is not too late. The time for action has arrived. I will help you.
Too late. I am done. I have been ungrateful for all he has given me.
You believe this?
There will be retaliation. A punishment well deserved. Layla, it is too late. I am done.
You are hopeless, my friend.
The night begins to lift. The limbs of day, faintly gray, stretch themselves awake. I have not slept. This matter of Malamet's request turns over in my mind. Round and round, spit pig, it fills my flaming mind. My slave's demand has raised my ire, and yet the slave is Malamet. Oh. And so again, around and around. Enough! I reach the same decision with each turn, and now my body's so cold, so stiff.
Who's there?
Identify yourself!
It is I, Hippocrates.
Awake at this hour?
I wait for you, Damagetes. I seek your aid. My servant has gone mad. He has tried to kill me.
No.
I have been hiding in the hold, just now come on deck to find you.
Where is the cur?
Asleep, below. He tired of the chase. Help me, Damagetes. Malamet will be violent when we wake him.
What has happened?
A rare illness.
I have seen the sudden onset in others. It burns the brain, which frosts and consumes itself. Sufferers either sleep or wake into a rage so severe it makes them strong as 10 men.
Horrible. Can you cure him?
No. No cure. Only slow, painful, suffering death. Others may suffer too through his violence. No. Best to end things quickly. Come, we must surprise the patient and plunge a dagger deep into his heart.
I will do it, Hippocrates. I have handled faithless servants.
Oh, thank you, friend, but I ask only that you witness and assist me if I fail through pity or love. We go now before the sun rises.
I am ready.
One moment.
Courage, Hippocrates. I will do it with my sword if you need.
Malamet is my friend. I owe him his freedom from this wretched illness. My knife should grant it to him.
He stands. He is awake.
Forgive me, gods! I can't! Demogedes, do it now!
Kerr! This steel is your reward! You kill me! Oh, as I feared!
Your words brought us to this conclusion!
So we learned nothing from Democritus. Goodbye, my master.
Is he dead?
It's done. Drink from this cup of wine to steady yourself. I drink as well. Your servant. He spoke like a sane man.
Yes. This often happens just before the end. Some strange stability.
This wine tastes odd. What is it, Hippocrates?
It's poisoned. Damagetes, he mixed the wine. See there, my herbs. Oh,
poison. And me as well. So we die.
Malamet, may the gods forgive us both.
Is it true? All three dead? Yes, there they lie, each steeped in his own black blood and one another's. And I, blind witness to the end. Oh, Hippocrates, so stubborn and deluded. Damagetes, so blunt and dull. And Malamet, slave, you meant the poison only for yourself, no other. How generous and how pathetic. Shall I drink it now? Or share it with these countless others? Come. Away with me. On deck to see the sun. And what role have I played in this bloody mess? Does the cobbler still await me? His sorrow is too hard for me to bear. Ahoy, my friends! I have wine for you. Come, wet your lips. Good wine, of Kos. So, no one hears. No one turns to look. Have they gone blind and deaf as well? Become mere shades? But here, I see others traveling on this ship in chains, with wounds that rival those who lie below. Wine for you, my friend? Good wine, of Kos. Even these walk past me, inattentive. I must be the shade. This, my new, more settled occupation. So be it. Abdera has had its chances and its consequence. And Democritus his full vindication. And I am left alone again in all this ship's confusion.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you. I told you your webs were useless.
Spider-Man! He's melting!
It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power Science World for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
And you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM and Scalds Hall, and we were just listening to the final episode of Adam Frank's lovely radio drama, Some Mad Scientists. And if you have not heard the entire thing yet, do not despair, no fear. You can go on to CITR 101.9 FM and go through the podcasts of Scalds Hall and listen to them there. Or directly, and just to find the entire thing for yourself, you can go to www.somemadscientists.org and you can download the entire series as a digital download from there. And it is a lovely series, and you can also find information on Adam Frank's other projects, of which he has several, including an upcoming project. So once again, the web address site, all lowercase, no other punctuation, just www.somemadscientists.org. And from there, you can find copies of the entire radio drama of Some Mad Scientists. And there are 4 episodes, 4 parts. They are all downloadable there. Lovely MP3 files that can play on just about anything. And then to go back, Vagabond Players production of Michelle Tremblay's For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again. It opened on Thursday, April 11th. There was not going to be a production tonight. It is going to run from tomorrow, April 13th, Saturday, until Saturday, April 20th. So it's going to run now every day for the next week. And you can get your tickets by calling 604-521-0412. Once again, that is 604-521-0412. Or you can email reservations@vagabondplayers.ca. Once again, you can email reservations@vagabondplayers.ca. And there you can make reservations and get tickets. And as I had said in the past, our last show, Faulty Towers, sold out pretty quickly, and every night, all 15 of our nights of our run were sold out. This particular play has a very strong pedigree as well, and you heard our interview today. I encourage everyone to go and try to see it. Show times are 8 p.m., the 8 p.m. every night, every weeknight, and on Saturday, and a 2 p.m. Sunday matinee. So it'll be 8 p.m. tomorrow, 2 p.m. on Sunday, and then 8 p.m. every night for the rest of the run. And it's going to be a really, really great play. A lot of really dedicated, intelligent people are involved, and I encourage you to go out and see it as soon as you can, if you at all can. Other upcoming events. We do cover a lot of spoken word stuff on the show, and one area of spoken word entertainment that we often cover are people who do things like voiceover work and the like. So those sorts of people often end up doing things that are heavily steeped in popular culture, and we do try to cover those. We've done radio plays like The Shadow and the like. If you are a fan of almost anything popular culture, you might want to check out fanexpovancouver.com. They're going to be having a lot of anime voiceover guests, such as Michael Boehner, who played Bob in Reboot, Michael Coleman, Brian Drummond, Mary Kay Henrique, Kathleen Westlock, Veronica Taylor. A very big who's who of a lot of people who have done anime voiceovers in the past. You'll also get live-action stars such as David Prowse, who played Darth Vader, Tia Carrere, who was in Wayne's World and Relic Hunter, Sean Astin, who's now a voiceover actor, but you might know better as Sam Wise Gamgee from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He's also Raphael in the new Ninja Turtles. And then, of course, there's the legendary Stan Lee, who does comics. And if you're into visual arts, especially comic book artists, there are going to be a lot of comic book artists there. Neil Adams, Robert Bailey, Steve Epting, David Finch, Pia Guerra, Phil Jimenez, Bob Layton, and so on and so on. And so if you are interested in almost anything pop culture, you might want to check out the Fan Expo, Fan Expo Vancouver. It's going to run next weekend, April 20th and 21st. And in order to get tickets, you kind of have to go to their website. It's fanexpovancouver.com. And once you are there, you will be able to purchase tickets. Tickets are $30 for a day. You can get a special package, $49 for the whole weekend. Or if you're feeling like splurging and want to miss the lineup, you can pay $79 plus tax in order to get an express pass that gets you your own lineup and in quicker. I went to the event last year. It's a lot of fun. They also have a lot of things like local artists, a lot of vendors, the 501st Imperial Legion. A lot of people show up. And so if you're interested in anything at all pop culture, which I am, then and you can go and see that. So to round out the hour, I thought that I would take a look at a more modern version of the Who's On First bit, which we had heard last week. And so this is a bit done by a local artist, Michelle Krieber. This is from her Speedy and Stretch episodes. And so coming up in just a moment, we're going to hear a very different rendition of Who's On First.
Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. Bucky Harris, the Yankees manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players, right?
I certainly do.
Oh, you know, I've never met the guys, so you have to tell me their names so I know who's playing on the team.
I'll tell you the names, all right, but it seems to me they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean.
His brother Daffy?
Daffy Dean.
His French cousin?
French?
Gouffet?
Gouffet Dean. Let's see what we have in the bags. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
You're the manager?
Yes.
Gonna be the coach, too?
Yes.
You don't know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy in first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing on first
who
base.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's who?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
You got a first baseman.
Yes.
Who's on first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
Oh. All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm asking is what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what's on second?
Oh, I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
Well, one base at a time.
Well, don't change the players
I'm
around.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you who's on first.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
What's the guy's name on first base?
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you. Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking about
him. How did I get to third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mentioned his name, then who's on third?
Who's on first?
What's on base?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go. Back to third again. Now, who's on third?
Why do you insist on putting who on third?
What am I putting on third?
What's on second?
You don't want who on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
Natalie's helpful advice.
And that was Michelle Krieber and Natalie Sharp with Who's On First, a very interesting and different take on a classic bit. And so coming up in just a moment, we are going to be having Radio Zero with Tyler and Cam. They will be coming up in a few minutes. And just before that, we're going to kick back, relax on our Friday afternoon, and listen to a few more tunes. And so we are done here for the day at Skulls Hall. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for everything. Stay tuned. Coming up in just a few moments, we will have Radio Zero with Tyler and Cam. Don't go away.